Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show on this, as Sharon Reardon just shared, the day before Eve of Christmas Eve or something like that. Oh, she says it much better than me. I'm just bumbling and stumbling. Welcome to the broadcast. Talk Radio 790 KBC. I am live in studio. And I'll tell you, I got here early tonight. Traffic is not that bad, and I've been in the other room preparing for the show, listening to Frank Motek do Motek on Money. And I had a very weird thing happen. In fact, let me tell you two stories that, when all is said and done, I'll be driving home tonight thinking, why did I share those stories? I think probably part of it is I'm so comfortable with you, my KBC family. We've been doing this broadcast here on Friday evenings for about 6 months, and I was on the air yesterday for Leo 2.0, and I walked in the studio tonight, and it's like, back to back, I can get used to this. If you've never heard our broadcast before, I've been in radio 36 years, did not go to school for radio, never thought in a million years I'd be in radio, and here I am in this air studio following, well, one of the titans of radio, as in the case of Frank Motek. I'm grateful and blessed to be here. I started my career in 1985 at a rock station you may have heard of if you're still in Southern California, which is 95.5 KLOS. They're still on air. And KABC and KLOS, up until recently, were sister stations. KLOS got sold. We are now kind of the juggernaut of talk radio. Was talking to, well, I'll just be specific, Wayman, before we got on the air. Wayman has been here a number of years. I love this station. I know he does too. And I told the story last Friday of how I started at KLOS, which was the sister station of KBC, and we shared buildings. So to be in this building is an honor for me and quite a blessing. And I had plenty of time tonight to prepare for the show. I got here early, and I started walking around. I love radio stations, and I was just telling Wayman, there's this one air studio that I've not been able to get into. It's always been locked. And I peer in through the window, and I'm like, man, that looks like the board I used to run for years. Nah, that's too crazy. Tonight, I walked up to the studio. I've walked up to the studio probably 10 times since I've been here. It's always locked. Tonight, it wasn't locked. I walked in. I walked over to the board, and I had a spiritual experience. Like, I put my hands on the board going, oh, my God, I used to run this thing for years and years and years. I know it's the same board. And you're thinking, this host is just nuts. What is he talking about? I'm talking about my love for radio. It is such a strange medium where you can get behind a microphone and share something that goes out into the ethers forever. One of my frustrations is the majority of you I'll never meet, and yet I think we've accomplished something in the first 6 months of this broadcast where there are some of you that tune in or you go back and you specifically listen to the podcast, which is virtually up immediately after the program at franksontag.com. So that's story number one, the little experience with the board. Story number two is a Christmas surprise. And I'm going to share the story in a moment. But let me tell you, the phones are always open to you, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. If you're in our listening audience and would like to chime in tonight, pun intended, please do so. We have a wide open board. Would love to take some calls tonight on any and all topics. And I have a couple of commentaries and some stories, as in news stories. And let me tell you this Christmas story. So my wife and I recently rented a home. We had to move out of our old home for reasons of which are really unimportant. So we're renting a new home for a short period of time. It's furnished. It's a little weird. Doesn't feel like home. But we are fortunate enough to have a pool in the backyard, which when we moved in June and July, it was like every night, wonderful. Years ago, I lived at the beach in Santa Monica in a single when I was a bachelor overlooking the ocean. And the first year, it was amazing. And then after a while, you just don't even think that you live right at the ocean. Similar with a pool. At least that's my experience. So recently, the pool guy tells me that the pilot light evidently was blown out or something. And he said, "Do you want me to relight the pilot light?" I'm like, Wayman's shaking his head. I'm thinking, sure. So he lights the pilot light. I don't think twice about it. And kind of stay out of the backyard now. It's wintertime. Every month we get our gas bill. It's about 50 or 60 bucks. So yesterday I'm driving to work to fill in for Leo 2.0. And had some bills, and I'm like, I hit the 405, a little bumper to bumper. I'm like, I'll open some of the bills. I opened my gas bill. And I, you know, was safe. I was stuck in traffic. And I look, and I'm like, what? No, am I seeing this correctly? I'm like, I better pull over, and because the dollar figure I saw, I thought couldn't be it. I'm seeing things. And again, I'm driving and glancing. So I finally hit a portion of the 405 where you hit the 10, and it's always bottlenecked. Only coming to work a mile and a half, the GPS says traffic for 14 minutes, you know, a mile and a half to go. So I'm stuck in traffic. I take a deep breath and I look at my gas bill. $1,223 for the month. And I'm like, no, it's got to be a mistake. This is impossible. What is this? So I call the gas company and I'm rehearsing in my mind, kind of going back, like, how can this be? I first placed the call thinking it's got to be their error. You hear about stuff like that all the time. People wake up and few and far between, they have more money in their account and the bank made an error or something. And this has got to be an error. But as I'm going through automation hell, press this button, press that button, I'm on hold forever. I start doing an inventory. Is anything different? Has anything happened? And somehow recall was, wait, the pool guy was out here like about a month ago. But I'm thinking, nah, that can't be. So finally, I get a live operator on the phone and very, very nice woman asks me my name and my billing number and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, how can I help you? And I said, well, I just got my bill. Can you pull up my bill on your screen? And she goes, I can. Give me a moment, Mr. Sontag. I'm waiting. And all of a sudden, I hear this. You got to be kidding me, she says. And I'm like, no, I think you're looking at what I'm looking at. And she goes, this can't be right. I've not seen a bill like this. And I'm like, yeah, you and me both. So after about 10 minutes on the phone, I'm thinking, look, I'm a big responsibility guy. If this is on me and my error, as much as I want to think, is there a way out of this? I'll bite the bullet and I'll somehow pay, maybe payment plan or something. But my hope is they'll give me a little break. Like, okay, this is a one-time deal. We can, you know, grant a 20% reduction, whatever. This woman's not having it. She's like, no, you owe $1,223. And then I said, can I make a payment plan? So after about 5 minutes putting me on hold, she finally came back and said, we can set something up. So I have a bill for that much money that I'm going to pay over a year. Here's a couple of reasons why I share the story. Number one, I think I'm still in shock. And it's important to share and talk about when you're in shock. I really am. Number two, there is always a tendency in the human faculty to pass the buck. Now, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm all about truth. But I would be disingenuous if I didn't tell you When I was on hold, I started thinking about making up all sorts of stories. But when she came on the phone and her first words, there's got to be a mistake, I'm thinking, yeah, okay. And number three, as much as I want to say this as accurately as I can, and if any of you in the listening audience, few and far between, know anything about radio, many years ago in my ministry, which we're still crawling along, still pointing guys to God's plan and purpose in their lives, literally on nickels and dimes, we're a 501c3. Years ago, I had a guy write me a very nasty email. I was on another radio station, and he said, why are you soliciting for donations for your ministry? You're a big celebrity in the afternoons. You can write your own check. By the way, if you Google my name, how much I'm worth, geez, man, anybody can make anything up on the internet. Let's just say that is, no, that's not the case. I am in the majority, paycheck to paycheck. But here's the point. In radio, very few people make a pretty decent wage. So I share this about the bill to say this. In the bigger scheme of life, it's not a big issue. And I don't want that to sound like financial anxiety isn't real and we're in a situation right now in our country where the economy is wavering. And look, we're all feeling it. Those of us that are just trying to make it day to day, we're feeling it. You go to the gas station and it's down 20 cents and the political buzz is, hey, you know, Joe Biden gets on, gas prices are down. And you're thinking, no, it's still like $4 and some odd a gallon. It was two something under Orange Man. But in terms of perspective in life, there are very few things in life really worth getting upset about. And I think the last thing I'll say is, I think part of life is lessons, opportunities to learn. And I'm not saying somehow in my New Age days where I believed a lot of weird stuff about karma and reincarnation and all, which is a lot of hooey. But things happen in life for a reason. And if you can learn, be mature about it, next time when it comes down the pike, you kind of lean into it and you're stronger for the experience. So I'd like to think it was a blessing in disguise. I will never heat a pool again in my entire life if I have another pool, I'll tell you that much. But there's my two stories. And I just burned 12 minutes of the broadcast. And I know I'll be driving home tonight thinking, man, why did I share those stories? I share them just to maybe have a laugh. I'm grateful for you, our KBC family. And if you want to call tonight and share anything, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. When we continue, there is a commentary called Moving Through the Chaos. I'll tell you who shared it, what it's about. I'll read it to you as well. And the phone lines are open, 800-222-KABC. Thank you for listening to this, the Frank Sontag Show, on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. On the break, I had a moment to reflect on what I shared on the air. And again, I'm thinking, oh, I'll tell you a little addendum to the story. And then we've got calls on the screen, 800-222-KABC. I shared it with Wayman, and I didn't think I'd say it on the air, but here's a little addendum to the story. Monday, it dawned on me, hey, I think maybe the pool's heated. And I checked, and I saw the pool was heated, not thinking anything about how expensive it is. And the jacuzzi was 93. Never been in the jacuzzi. I went for a long run that day, and I'm like, I'm going to get in the jacuzzi. I got in. I'm like, oh, this is amazing, looking at the stars. My son came out, and he says, it's cold outside. I said, man, I'm going to do this every night. And I have to tell you, it was a one and done. And now I know I took a $1,223 5-minute jacuzzi. Oh, if you can't laugh at yourself, what are you going to do, right? Let us talk to Chris in Palos Verdes. Chris, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. What's up, Chris?
Hey, thanks, Frank. I know I'm in Palos Verdes, but I'm on a fixed income, and I've used this Help Energy Assistance Program, HEAP, and you can get it for either electricity or gas. And obviously, I don't know your income, but even, you know, you might want to look at it. They can maybe help give you a break anyway. I just got my LIHEAP, and I got a break for $459. So, you know, it's worth, I don't know, again, your situation, obviously, but give it a shot, and you might get some help from somebody just giving you a break, because, yeah, I agree, that was, that's going to shock anybody, $1,200.
Chris, thank you for the call. Merry Christmas. I appreciate you, and thank you for caring enough to place that call. I will tell you this. I asked if there's any way, and the operator was pretty strong in no way. Now, signing up for the program is a possibility, but this is etched in stone. And every month I'm going to be paying a little bit to lower that cost. Rick in Lake Balboa. Hey, is Lake Balboa heated? Rick, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on KBC. How are you, Rick?
I'm good. I didn't quite get your whole question. Is Lake Balboa what?
Heated. I'm just joking from the previous segment.
Oh, well, from the sun.
Yeah, there you go.
Naturally heated to an extent. I hope this is not too non sequitur, but, you know, I was thinking, you know, living in California, which I still love. You know, what can I tell you? I know it's got outrageous problems, and I don't like the government. I don't like the direction the state is going in. But God, you know, driving, and especially Lake Balboa, because I live near that big nature reserve, and it's, you know, in the low 70s in the middle of December, and it's clear as a bell, and, you know, traffic's a little bit lighter now during the holidays, and you put on your favorite music, and it's okay. I mean, that's kind of the bait, that's kind of the lure of California.
For sure.
And I don't want to come off like I'm a, you know, an ostrich with my head in the sand, because this could all change in an instant, you know, who knows. But the point I was trying to make was when those people, those that are in power, so to speak, make things difficult on the quote unquote average American, right? Like what COVID did to the economy and to businesses, right? Mm-hmm. What soaring gasoline prices, soaring energy prices. We can go on and on. But because the spirit of the American people, we survive. And we still manage to do well. We still come through it because, you know, we get up in the morning sometimes and just go, well, what are you going to do? That's how it is. Gas is $4.50 or $5 an hour, you know, a gallon. I'm going to have to just eat it and get on with my life. But the thing that I don't like is the people that have created that situation. They use that and they go, oh, you see, well, you know, people came through it. So you see, it's not that bad, and it gives them an excuse for creating some of these miserable conditions.
Well, I think that's
making a point.
I think it's very well said. Finish yours, and then I'll throw mine. I'm sorry I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, that was pretty much it. And just I was asking you if I'm like totally off the mark here, or is there some validity to what I'm saying?
No, I think for me, our ideologies somewhat aligned, but also what was going through my mind is, there is an attack right now on that American spirit you're making reference to. I think it's a concerted effort by people that ideologically despise this country and the founders. And there is a concerted effort right now to absolutely implode our country and kill that spirit that you're talking about. Rick, thank you. I'm always grateful when you call. You're somewhat of a regular listener, and I appreciate that. I did a story yesterday, Stanford, their IT department, they are going to change language. I don't have it in front of me, but it was something to the effect of, it wasn't offensive language, but they're changing words. This has been happening for a while. And the reason why it came to mind is, we're not to, according to Stanford, make reference to ourselves as Americans anymore. And their point being, there's, you know, South America, Central America, there's other Americas. And to just say we're American, somehow that means we're the greatest country in the world. And we're clearly not. So that American spirit is definitely under attack from my view. How say you? 800 222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Let me give you a little setup about what I hope to cover in the remaining 90 minutes of the program. Now, I probably won't get to all of these, but the Senate passed the $1.8 trillion spending bill. We may lean into that. A federal agency, I never knew we had this, the U.S. Education Department's Office for Civil Rights. I hear that and I'm like, uh-oh. They're investigating a school district, I think it's in Texas, for removing LGBT books from the library. Speaking of the library, Kirk Cameron has a book entitled As You Grow. He contacted 54 libraries across the country, asking them to give him an hour. He would rent space. 54 libraries that have sponsored the Drag Queen Story Hour, 52 said no way. And the two that eventually acquiesced, he somewhat said, hey, look, it's against the law to deny me that right. So we'll get into that story, speaking of libraries. Maybe you're tracking the latest CIA documents that have been released regarding the JFK assassination. There is a commentary by Roger Simon entitled, Has American Democracy Been a Hallucination for Nearly 60 Years? We'll get into that. Elon Musk says he's going to resign as CEO of Twitter. I have to tell you, I'm not a big Elon Musk guy. I don't like his, what's the word? The stuff he wants to do with the brain. Transhuman stuff. It's a little out there, but I've had a real fun time watching him run Twitter and watching people get all wound up about, you know, when their side starts getting called out. Hey, it's not fair anymore. I covered this on the program yesterday on Leo 2.0. Oakland City Council has reinstated the mask mandate. I think I said Oklahoma a couple times yesterday. And when we come back, moving through the chaos, it's a commentary. It's actually a transcript of a speech done by someone many of you know. And when I read it, I thought it was brilliant. And I always try to share information with you, not to coerce you, not to brainwash you, not to force you to my side of the way that I look at life, but just to give you information to process and embrace or just kick out if you want. So I think this commentary, for me, speaks to a lot of what's going on in the world, moving through the chaos. We also have a wide open board. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. If you're looking for potential topics, we can always do the, well, it's the night before Christmas Eve. Are you in the holiday spirit? We can even do the Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays, which I've never been a fan of that conversation, but there's always people in the listening audience when I've thrown that out there in radio, they have a passionate view about this. You're more than welcome to call. And I guess the last thing is, one of the many allures of radio that I love is just it being live. So you never know what's going to happen. We took a call yesterday from a guy named Dana who just tried to, well, he didn't like me so much. He called me a hypocrite, said some very mean things. So once in a while, we get calls like that, too. All calls are welcome. I've been doing this for a few years. I can handle myself. And I like disagreement. I learn from people. As a matter of fact, Dana's position was me probably 15 years ago. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. What's on your mind tonight? How are you? Are you out and about? You driving on the freeway? Are you trying to find a last-minute Christmas present? In fact, when we come back, before we get into moving through the chaos, I'm going to tell you about a place. If you're thinking about buying jewelry, this is the place to go to tomorrow for a last-minute gift. I'll tell you that and much more as we continue with this, the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. 800-222-5222 are the numbers to call into the program. 800-222-KABC. We are live in studio on this Christmas Eve. Thank you, Sharon Reardon. And taking your calls. In a moment, I'm going to read Moving Through the Chaos, a commentary. But let me take, is it Eris in La Habra? You're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KBC. Hello, Eris.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing? I'm well.
Doing well. Thank you. Well, I just wanted to say that I try to listen to Leo's show as much as I can. I get off at 5 from work, but I heard you last night, and you have spoken the truth. This was right at the end of the show. Evil is taking over, and if we do not, as Christians, come back, and literally we're going to have to fight this as a war, we're going to be lost. We're out of control. And I just wanted to say that you were spot on what you said last night.
Well, I appreciate that. And before you go, this isn't a self-interest question, but it's just something that I'm curious about. Have you ever heard me broadcast ever before?
I might have heard you maybe once or twice really quickly. Once or twice.
Well, let me tell you the reason why I ask is, you obviously are a man of faith. I did share that a little bit yesterday. And we are in a war. Eris, this is a battle for the hearts and souls of people. And it's hard to comprehend, and I won't go on a long monologue here, but it's hard to comprehend. It's one thing for me when I look to the secular world of their complicity or their indifference. But I'll be doggone, those that represent themselves as followers of Christ, I can't tell you, and maybe you can relate, how many people just somehow think we as Christians were supposed to be nice and go along with basically anything, including evil, and act like it's nothing's going on. And I'm appalled by the fact that not only are we not engaged in the battle, maybe the problem is we don't know we're in a war and we don't know who the enemy is.
I agree with you. And just briefly, I just remembered something. I don't know if he was a Catholic priest, but there's a monologue that this individual does do. Is how come we pray as Christians, but we vote like we're Gentiles, basically.
Yep.
And that's also true.
Eris, I'm grateful for you. We're here every Friday evening from 7 to 9. Please know you're welcome to call anytime. And if you're led to it all, I'd be blessed if you get on my mailing list. Just go to franksontag.com. Right at the top, it says I want to be on the mailing list. And I send out news blasts from time to time. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And thank you for calling tonight. So Eris talked about the Stanford story I have in front of me. So let me read that. By the way, we have a couple of open lines, 800-222-5222. Stanford seeks the elimination of harmful language like the words American, stupid, and Karen. Stanford University's IT department created a list of offensive terms and phrases accompanied by alternative recommendations. Some of the alternative recommendations are just priceless. Until recently, the list was publicly available, but the university's website has made it password protected after significant criticism. Do you think? The Elimination of Harmful Language Initiative, otherwise known as EHLI, is a multi-phase, multi-year project to address harmful language in IT at Stanford. The goal of EHLI is to eliminate many forms of harmful language, including racist, violent, and biased, also known as disability bias, ethnic slurs, gender bias, implicit bias, sexual bias, language in Stanford websites and code. Excuse me. Scroll down. I see the word microaggression. Oh, boy. Some of the phrases in past that have been frowned upon by Stanford. Problematic racial origins that hardly anyone remembers, like low man on the totem pole. Long time no see. It also features many words and phrases that are inoffensive but could possibly be perceived as racial or gendered, such as webmaster, white paper. The term American is disfavored on technical grounds, since not all Americans are denizens of the United States. Then there are a bunch of expressions to which the IT department objects because they are too vivid, including beating a dead horse. I have a horse. I have no problem with that phrase. Taking a stab at it. Not good. Also, Stanford is against terms like stupid or crazy. The list also includes at least a few terms that were themselves preferred over supposedly more offensive options until very recently. A good example is survivor, which used to appear as an acceptable substitute for victim, but it is apparently out of fashion. The IT department now prefers person who has been impacted by. Oh, look, if I offend you by laughing, well. I mean, this is just sheer lunacy, which probably, you know, people that love the moon, that's probably, you know, you can't say it in that term. There's a little more here. The list's runaway winner for most baffling inclusion is Karen, a term that only recently entered the cultural lexicon. Instead of saying Karen, get ready, the IT department would like people to say demanding or entitled white woman. Oh, the Wall Street Journal story went viral and was widely covered in media, mostly conservative media. As always, one must note that neither Stanford nor other campuses are forcing students to stop saying these words. It's true, however, that dozens of schools have set up tip lines that explicitly permit students to report each other. Can you imagine? Hey, I'm not going to tell you my name. And this is one of the words on the list that isn't supposed to be used. I haven't mentioned yet. Yeah, there's somebody in my class. Let's just say my name is Bill. And so-and-so, I heard use the word brave. Brave. Talk about culturally insensitive. Jeez Louise. Snitch lines. Tip lines. Explicitly permit students to report each other and their teachers for using harmful language. Ay, 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 ay. Language. Language is powerful. We're in a time when even the meaning of words is changing, let alone something like this where words are being erased. And it's kind of amazing to watch when you talk about institutions of higher learning, i.e. universities and colleges. Man, they've been doing this for decades. And with respect, I'm not you. I haven't worked or walked in your shoes, but if you're sending your son or daughter to a university or a college with your hard-earned wage and paying obscene amounts of money, in most cases, you're sending them to become, I can't say the word stupid. you are enhancing their ability to, here's an expression, to struggle in the area of intellectual acumen. I guess that's acceptable. And universities are the worst. We're going to look back one time, maybe a century from now, and go, yeah, there was a time, the beginning part of the 21st century, where people paid just obscene amounts of money to send their children to become dumber and to become brainwashed. If that upsets you, call me. Not my intention, but again, we field all calls here. 800-222-5222. We have a couple lines open. 800-222-KABC. When we come back, we're going to get through moving through the chaos. And also, if you're looking for a last-minute gift I didn't get to in this segment, I can tell you of a jewelry store that is second to none. That and much more next here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us. Talk Radio 790 KABC. This is the Frank Sontag Show. If you're like me and you wait to the last minute for that special gift, I want to tell you about a dear friend of mine who has an incredible jewelry store in Monrovia. His name is Albert. If you have not bought a gift and you're thinking about jewelry, in fact, I'll probably be out there tomorrow. My anniversary is the 29th. Uh-oh. I cannot tell you and praise this man more. He makes all of his jewelry. It's handmade. He's been there for decades. He's a great guy, storyteller. Noble Jewelers is just off the 210 freeway in Monrovia. I think it's the Huntington off-ramp. I may be wrong on that. But let me give you his number, 626-357-9357. And I know he's working tomorrow like 10 to 6. 626-357-9357. If you happen to head out there tomorrow, you may run into me. But tell Albert I said that you'll be given the special Frank Sontag discount. And he'll take care of you. He has about every type of jewelry you can imagine, from watches to pendants to rings to, I mean, he's got everything. Noble Jewelers is in Monrovia. And ask for Albert, 626-357-9357. Let me try to read this commentary very quickly. It's entitled, Moving Through the Chaos. I'll tell you at the end who said this. It was recently transcribed at an event in Florida. I was born a person of natural curiosity, intensely so. Orderliness, natural alignment, and the bigger principles of universal balance in all things has always been important to me. When things are chaotic and out of balance, my general inclination is to ask why. What is happening that creates this imbalance? An imbalance ultimately from truth? The natural order of things is so much a part of my instinctual makeup that as a young child, my maternal grandmother once said and wrote to me, "Son, you were born with an incurable case of curiosity, and someday it might kill you." Later in life, I discovered the nature of that conversation stemmed from an episode where I refused to accept being taught imbalanced rules at school. My worried and intensely patient mom sought advice from her father, my granddad, in a letter I later discovered in her well-worn satchel of mementos. Turning a phrase, my mom wrote, "Dear Dad, we're attempting to tame the shrewd." Apparently, my childhood sense of curiosity was loved and cherished, but also worrisome in the way that only a mother's wisdom could assess. Granddad replied with a comforting dispatch to my exasperated mom and then appeared in person a week later to help lend some practical support to my parents' efforts. In this context, practical meant me and Grandpa on a week-long fishing and camping trip right in the middle of the school year. The timing was why that specific visit imprinted so memorably, yet the purpose remained unknown to me until much later in life. From Grandpa's conversations, I learned there are natural laws and basic rules in the universal thing we call life. They are seated within us, deep into our souls, from the miracle of birth and creation. We inherently know things, we sense things, and it's only as an outcome of an immersion in the world of unnatural laws and man-made laws and rules that we begin to be disconnected from them. This is the God factor in life, the thing that is bigger than ourselves that various religions and philosophers have noted and discussed. At birth, we know right from wrong. We're born with an instinctual knowledge that hurting others is bad and helping others is good. We know from birth the difference between true and false. This is the part that caused the immediate issue with my younger self-questioning the school learning. My 11-year-old self was worrying that we were losing catch bait time that second morning. Meanwhile, Grandpa was frustratingly and mysteriously ambivalent about the sunrise. Instead, my scruffo hero in life said to me while boiling coffee, there are natural states of existence, natural instincts that transcend learned outcomes and consequences. Touch fire and get burned is a learned outcome. Knowing the difference between right and wrong, between love and anger, is not. In essence, if you follow the natural flow of things, you arrive to realize that emotions are not learned, we are born with them. Think about that deeply. Emotions are not learned, we are born with them. The implications are enormous. Grandpa said penguins are birds that needed to swim, not fly, so they evolved wings into flippers, but man's emotions were present from day one and never wavered. Odd breakfast conversation. Then comes a cuss word, which always drew my grins and attention. Grandpa said, we always know about all four factions of evil, the two nuclear sciences, fusion and fission. Here we are, the recipient of the third. Electromagnetic, yet we have no damned clue how the gravity works. Yep, there's me standing, listening, a cast net in one hand, bucket in the other, slowly realizing the bait ain't the priority. My grandpa said to me, kid, it just isn't a coincidence that three of the four energy factors are created by man, and the last one is unique to God. Suddenly, the clarity surfaced. Grandpa's got a point. The man-made transformation of energy into electricity, we understand. However, when it comes to the one factor of energy that God created, we are clueless. Hence that Einstein guy saying, hey, want to know God's thoughts? The rest are details. Why would you be born with an inherent natural gift to feel emotion? Why do we have the ability to feel joy and happiness and sadness, anger, frustration, guilt, fear, love, grief, etc., if the human condition was only based on biological perpetuation? We carry emotion as a human trait because the answer lies in the heart of our God's intent, our purpose. You were born knowing right from wrong, good from bad, and knowing the difference between fear and hope. We were all born with a spiritual purpose and created by a loving God. It takes effort to remain living among men yet connected to the natural state, or what Grandpa describes as God's natural order. The effort requires a person to separate themselves from the unnatural outcomes of man's manipulations, rules, and unnatural order. In common speak, we must make an effort, literally, think about it, and take action to create distance from chaos and return our mindsets to the natural order we were born with. Lastly, and ultimately, prayer and even church are an outcome of prior thoughtful human leadership recognizing our need to sit still and return to our natural state. Right now, in this modern era within the United States and perhaps the larger Western world, almost every structured system is in a state of chaos. Control mechanisms and man-made manipulations are being deployed everywhere in order to steer the outcomes amid this chaotic storm. I think back to that sunrise and my grandfather's words. I think about my efforts to help as a guide reconciling the why questions. I will have a bit more soon on the importance of understanding the situation in order to see the appropriate place to put the pressure and achieve natural balance. Now, I could say, guess who said that? I don't think anybody could guess it. But I find it fascinating the way this man thinks and speaks. And say what you will about Tucker Carlson. The guy is really an interesting man. And he's on the front lines stating his perspective in life, his view of the way he thinks life should run. And he takes daggers all the time. The guy is like center stage to attack, slander. And yet, say what you will, I appreciate a deep thinker. Somebody that just doesn't mail it in. Somebody that says, yeah, but there's got to be something more to this. And then you fill in the, I don't know, make a lot of money, be popular, have status, notoriety. There's got to be something more to it. Let me share this last thought. I was reading a book recently on affluence and freedom and how people that have a lot of money obviously can enjoy a certain freedom in this life. But the point of the book that kind of blew my mind and I never thought about it is time and time again, when people were asked that are very affluent about this idea of freedom, they get very bored because they have no challenges. They know they can have anything, get anything anytime they want. And then they have this intrinsic need to want more. And it really took me back a second because how many of you think every day, man, if I only had more money, if I had this, I had that. When I think in a seminal way, the answer is be grateful for this right now, what you have. Work hard in your life. Have hopes, have dreams indeed. But the bottom line, tomorrow is not guaranteed. This is it. And I do appreciate Tucker Carlson, and I do have some disagreements with him from time to time, but so be it. All right, hour number two is upon us. We have a couple of lines open, 800-222-KABC. It is Christmas Eve here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC.